Appreciate the invite. This is going to be a little bit fast and furious. They asked me to talk about markets and mostly about feeder cattle and calves and grain. So I guess we'll do that. Livestock Marketing Center began over 60 years ago. University of Wyoming is one of the founding members. The other states involved in this symposium also participate. I'm going to just make a plug here for a minute. These USDA data sources we all use to do market analysis, I could make the esoteric arguments and academic arguments that information makes markets work. That probably won't get you to tell USDA how many cows you have, and so that didn't work. The Census of Agriculture will decide how much money comes to your states for agriculture, for your universities from the federal side. And so if you don't respond to this, well, that probably didn't work either. You don't maybe care about how many federal dollars come to your state. So I'm struggling to find out why you should tell USDA the numbers, and you really should for a lot of these reasons. But mostly you ought to just thank your neighbors that did respond to the USDA data, and don't give them the secret data in that, but those that did respond and you got drought payments, thank your neighbors that did respond, because many of you had some significant drought payments in recent years. And we got to prove to the people in D.C. why your industry is important. The researchers have to prove to Washington, D.C. to get a grant to do research in animal science why your industry is important. And if you don't say how many cows you have, it's pretty hard to say that you're an important industry and one that ought to be counted and one that ought to be politically supported. So that's enough of that. We'll go on here. It's going to be fast and furious. We're going to talk about the overall market outlook, and those of you can leave then, right then. And then we're going to digress and talk about kind of supply and demand. And then we're going to wrap up with some really long-term stuff. So we're doing the markets now, and there's probably a pointer here. This is the Fed cattle market, and we're kind of holding around here at a good market, way above a year ago prior there. This was a surprisingly strong market. That was a very weak market in 2016. We're probably not getting back to that peak again, and we don't necessarily have to go that low again. But so that's the Fed cattle side, and we worry about that. Why? Because most of you are selling calves, and calves eventually end up in feedlots. So feedlot sector there. Calf prices are stronger than we anticipated and above a year ago. We do all kinds of economic modeling and analysis of data and building things. And my bottom line is this followed. We're pleasantly surprised with the calf market. A lot of things came together simultaneously to really give us this stronger market than a year ago. And we're going to talk about some of those. But we're pleasantly surprised. I hope you're going to use that money wisely. And maybe don't tell your banker that you made money more than you told him before or her. Cull cow prices are neither near their seasonal bottom. We have a very good market in terms of these products coming out of these cull cows. And if you have the forage base and you can pencil it and you can do an economic thing, you can hold those rather than selling them this week or next week at the low of the market. But there's a reality there. So that's the marketplace. So what in this big picture of the marketplace is one of the drivers that's gotten us to where we are this year. And I have a long and boring career in agriculture. And so we pulled these cattle weights down. And what we essentially had this year in the marketplace for the first time since 2003, and the first time ever throughout a whole year, is the market pulled animals through feedlots. The markets pulled animals through the production system. Usually, when you get weights coming down, it's because Mother Nature beat the heck out of the High Plains cattle feeding industry. We pulled weights down. And I read media again, even recent weeks. Well, the weather earlier this year has pulled these cattle weights down. That's wrong. The market pulled animals through. The strong demand for cattle pulled markets and pulled animals through the system. Usually, we're trying to push animals through the marketing system. And the marketing system pulled them through. And these weights are still well below a year ago. And we've had super cattle feeding weather. Look at the weather outside, right? Doesn't get much better than this for cattle feeding. So this is a very unique, this has only happened two times in my career, and only once has it lasted this long where a market has caused things to be pulled through the system to the extent that we've had. So here's the prices. Blue line, these are the Southern Plains. Blue line is 5 to 6 weight steer calves. These are annual average. 7 to 8 weights are red, and fed cattle are light blue here. And we see prices are downward. This back here for you young people there, there's where a corn market can blow up a cattle market to the extent that calves and yearlings sell at a price per hundredweight lower than fed cattle. Let's hope that doesn't happen again. But we're seeing generally trending lower prices. Our forecasts through 2019 are that what? The fourth quarter of this year was a pleasant surprise. Okay, that's all well and interesting. We can learn a lot from those kinds of graphs. But let's just look at the fourth quarter of the year. Fourth quarter of the year versus annual average on the blue. Annual average, fourth quarter. There's a really strong market, but look back here historically. We had these calf prices way higher than the annual average in the fourth quarter. We can learn a lot, though, looking at history of prices. When prices are generally moving higher, when prices are moving cyclically higher, prices are moving cyclically higher, like back here in prior years, back over here, the fourth quarter can be our highest price of the year. Typically, though, when prices are trending lower year over year, often because we're getting bigger calf crops year over year, the fourth quarter is almost always, not always, but almost always, the lowest price of the year. Here's what we have this year. We have the price above a year ago. But as we look out ahead here in the fourth quarter, the relationships get very normal. The relationship's odd there. The relationship's odd there, right? But pretty normal. These markets have largely adjusted to the economic realities of recent years. And so that's what we're thinking as we go ahead. Now, in the back of the room, you won't be able to see this, but here's what we're forecasting. These are just for calves. We do a lot of analysis. There's the fourth quarter of 16, 138 and change in the Southern Plains, 168 this year, probably in the Southern Plains, or 67 for the fourth quarter this year. But as we look ahead to the fourth quarter of 18 and 19, we don't have to necessarily push these prices back to there. That's a 143 on the lower end of the range. Now, I did not have to put a disclaimer up there before I started my presentation. I'm not trying to sell you anything. And I hope most of you are, you know, except for some of you that are old like I, you know, you wish you weren't adults, but you're adults. You realize things change. It's a dynamic marketplace, right? But we don't necessarily, unless something sort of goes wrong in the marketplace from where we're sitting today, have to push prices again in the fourth quarter as low as they were in 16. And that's good news. In fact, we could probably have at the high end of our range here, fourth quarter of 19 could be higher than the fourth quarter of 18. So what are we thinking about here in cow-calf country? Well, we're thinking about the prices are nearer their bottom than they were. And in fact, in a breeding herd sense and buying bulls and making decisions, whether you're going to add to your herd to bring somebody in, you want to sell your herd, move out of the business, this market in the next couple of years is turning. And we've already started turning the market. Now, we have a lot to get through still in the next 2 years, and we expect lower prices the next 2 years. But as we get out here into 19, 20, 21, you can probably have some stronger calf markets, okay? So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. Those are our forecasts. I'm going to share this. If you want this, you can have it, because next week I'll change these numbers. But the so largely in a marketplace, we have two things that go on. We have the supply side of the marketplace. That's you all, right? Producing animals, feedlots feeding animals, packers killing animals, you know, truckers moving meat. And that's the supply side of the system. And we have the demand side of the system. Demand side of the system is consumers, right? Consumers want to buy a product that has something that they want. Now, those people do not care about your cost of production, absolutely do not care. They're looking for some kind of price profile and something that they want. And so those two things interact, and that gives us prices. And these prices tell us kind of what to do. So we're going to talk about the demand side. So this is a picture of an ad from over 10 years ago, $5.99 a pound, front page ad. The week before Thanksgiving in the Denver market, bone-in New York strip steak, $4.67 a pound with a club card. That's more than a dollar a pound lower than they were 10 years ago. And right next to that ad is what? That's the ad that's smaller on the front page for spend $100 in a store in Denver and get a free turkey. How many years has it been since beef has been the front page and beef was on top of the ad at turkey time? It's been a long damn time, right? And so this is something we need to think about. Okay. This is also something that's changing the marketplace, and that's the pet food aisle. Anything in a pet food store on the bag or the can or whatever that says beef means it must be skeletal muscle. That means it's not tongue, it's not liver, etc. This thing in my neighborhood is now 3 aisles long, the pet food section. And part of the pet food section is fresh, and part of it is frozen items. This is where a significant amount of our lower quality beef, in terms of the coming off the carcass, but this is a changing dynamic. Millennials pay more per pound to feed their pets than they do their newborn children. They do. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about the demand side. Well, the demand side's about the economy partly. The U.S. economy is growing. Consumer sentiment is as good as it's been since 2003 and 2004. Unemployment in this country is as low as it's been in years. Consumer incomes are up in this country, right? This is an economic environment where overall this has been supportive of the beef marketplace. It's very important. So the macroeconomy story is in everything, including positive, and much better than we thought it would be a year ago at this time. We thought it'd be good, but this has been surprisingly good. The sales so far at Christmas are better than people anticipated. Okay. Now, as we get to demand, we got per capita consumption here, or disappearance or something. Now, some of this includes what? That pet food we just showed you, right? So not everybody eats all this stuff. Per capita consumption went down. We started exporting more. And that is not, and most of you know this, but I'm going to remind you, that is not demand. That's about half the story of demand, because demand also talks about what? Price that people pay. Okay, so now we're going to do a big jump of faith here. We skip, by my last count, about 40 chapters in the economic textbook. And we're going to try to make an index out of consumer demand in the United States using the best data we have, which isn't very good. So here's the demand profile. This is the shifting in the demand curve for you economists in the back of the room. 100%. This era here, the chicken industry whooped the heck out of the U.S. beef industry. We started to develop products. We started to educate nutritionists and doctors about the role of meat in the diet. We did great research. We got consumer-ready products. We came out of the bottom. We got to, this is overstated probably in the numbers. That's improving demand. That's positive shifting demand. And, you know, no matter what the vegans and vegetarians were doing, it was going up. Then it slipped, and we hit a bottom in the beef complex at the bottom of the recession. Beef is much more susceptible to demand macroeconomy stuff than pork or chicken. But since then, it's growing, and it's actually growing more than the economy's growing. That tells you something about beef. Now, the story is correct for people to be telling you, well, beef demand has been great lately, and that's got us our cattle market. And that's basically true, but it really isn't quite correct. Now, we had 93. That's a figment of the USDA data this last quarter, but we have dropped off since a couple of years ago in this demand profile. It's still as good as it was clear back here in 2004. So the beef demand profile, the shape of that curve, that function based on price and quantity is still rather good, but it didn't get us this cattle market we've got today. The domestic consumer helped us a bunch, but it did not get us the cattle market today. They didn't work against us, and it's way better than back here, okay? And this is many, many tens of dollars per hundredweight on calves between 74 and 89. It's a lot of money, okay? So what else has gone on? Well, on this domestic profile, the packer margin, the blue is this year, dotted lines last year, red's prior for you average. The Packers, 2016 was their best year ever. Best year ever in history of the beef packing industry since we've been able to calculate these in the early 1970s. Now, we're a little bit below last year, but 2017 turns out to be better yet. So if you have the best year in history killing cattle, you might want cattle to kill. You might want to invest some of that money too, but that's, we'll save that for the bullpen session. What else has gone on? Well, they also, the spread between wholesale prices, the packer, and the retail price, according to USDA, is that they've been featuring this product. Their margin went down. Retailer margins hardly ever go down. Their costs never go down. And that doesn't look like a lot. And the system does not work like this. It does not work like this. But if it did work like this, if this was a mysterious market, and when they made money, they just gave it to you, which they don't, and you know that. But if they did, that's $13 a hundredweight on a fed steer today, better than last year. And that has to do with just the retailer margin shrinking. And this number is overstated by USDA by at least $5 a hundredweight, because it doesn't capture that featuring of that really inexpensive stuff, because they can't figure that out because it's on a club card and all that. So $13 per hundredweight plus or minus compared to last year is what? They wanted to feature your beef product. And why did they want to do this? To get people in the store. In the modern world, all of you live mostly in rural America. I drive through rural America all the time. Every one of you now is on a first name basis with what? The UPS man. You get your diapers delivered to your ranch on UPS. I know you do. I've seen them on back porches. How do you compete with that as a traditional grocery store? What do you have to offer? You have the fresh meat case, and you have fruits and vegetables, and you got milk and yogurt, and that's all you got. So this industry has become very competitive, fighting for consumers. And how have they done that mostly? They've used beef as the item to bring people in. Thankfully, it's beef. Thankfully, it's beef. Okay? But this is a sea change. This market for consumers has never been this. Are they going to keep doing this? Well, if they got to get people in the stores, they're going to do it. Safeway tells us what? We're surprised at how, when we put a feature on beef, how much we can sell. No kidding. This is a darn good product. This is a major part of the story of how the cattle market got here today that most people have. They just think it's demand. But it's a very subtle aspect in the marketplace. Any questions or comments? We'll save those for the bullpen session. So now the other part of demand is what those competing meats are doing and all that, and it gets all messy. So these are our forecasts. 2019, pork production in the U.S. is growing. It's going to keep growing. We built two new modern packing plants. Pork exports were really good early this year, and now compared to beef, they're doing very poorly. So we have to eat it here. Chicken production's increasing. And chicken exports are really bad. Remember those when we get to beef. Remember those when we get to beef. Now, the biggest story, the biggest headwind in the industry, any of these meat animal industries, especially beef, the biggest issue is what? Just the sheer amount of total red meat and poultry we're producing in this country. Because that's going up. And these are record large. Okay, where did that go? Dr. Paisley. Oh, thank you. Record large. But since 1960, 41 of the 57 years, 72% of the time, it's record large. Record large is not an issue, except how much we're going to actually ask people to eat. And this is total red meat and poultry. We take our export forecasts, import forecasts, and then we take per capita, including that pet food thing. And in 2018, we're going to ask people to eat nearly 219 pounds on a retail weight basis. You don't actually eat all the bones and chicken, but we throw it in there, right? That's the largest since 2007. That's no small hurdle. That's less than just believing it's record large and the sky is falling. But we have to get something going to move the most meat we've ever tried to move since 2007 on a per-person basis. Can we do that? It's going to be a struggle. Now, beef, pork, and chicken, they don't substitute one for one, right? Normal people don't go to the grocery store. Some do and say, here's a pound of chicken, here's a pound of beef. They're the same price I'm going to buy, right? No, they pay a premium for beef, right? But this is the biggest headwind. Is the economy going to stay together, or exports going to stay together? and our prices, and are the consumers going to want to buy the most that they've seen put in front of them since 2007? And that's the biggest risk in the marketplace. Absolutely the biggest risk is the sheer tonnage out there. Now let's talk about international trade. You had a great presentation already. Just to let you know, those are on the Western feedlot in Alberta, Canada, that shut down a summer ago. Remember those others, the blue line, chicken and pork, not doing so good. Beef, we're going to have a record year. More important than the domestic demand profile to getting us where we were has been what? The export markets compared to a year ago. And here's our forecast. Now, here's the fall that we had in 2015. Now, this is just meat you eat, right? USMEF talks about internal organs and all that stuff. Ugh. Okay. That's in terms of dollar value, there's $1.5 billion for the industry that we lost between 14 and 15. But we're going to set records, and we think it continues, unless we blow up NAFTA and free trade agreements and a few other things. But this is a very positive profile. And it's been a driver, the second most important driver to getting us where we were today, are today. And the imports are declining, and we can talk about all that later. They're still important, but they're way down from where they were a couple years ago. So let us summarize before we talk about grains. On the demand profile, number one that got us to where we are today is the featuring and the nature of the retail marketplace changing dramatically, and beef being the thing, one of the key things you can use to bring people into a store, whether it's a Costco or whatever. Be thankful you're that industry. Number two, getting us on the demand side only, where we are today, been exports. Absolutely. Number three has been domestic demand holding together. Now let's talk about grain. Now we talk about grain, why? We talk about feedstuffs, why? We talk of that because that's important to calf and yearling prices. If you spend your whole life looking at these things, and if everything else is held constant, which it never is, you never hold everything constant, but as economists, you pretend. That's all we can do is pretend. You hold everything else constant, and on average, even though every year is different, over time, if corn goes up at 10 cents a bushel year over year, 5 to 6 weight steer calves in the Southern Plains will drop by $1 per hundredweight. You go from $10 corn to, you know, 10 cents is about $1 a hundredweight on a calf, okay? So it's important. So what's changing the corn market? Well, a few years ago, this ethanol thing, the great green part of the bar, was growing dramatically. And any hiccup we had in the system, like a drought, just got magnified. Because the demand for ethanol was growing so fast for that corn that you couldn't slow down the ship. But the ethanol is now a mature market. Ethanol is no longer the driver. It's a fixed aspect of the industry, but it doesn't move around dramatically, and it's not growing year over year at just this rapid pace from almost nothing to really big, more than the livestock sectors use, right? So this is now a mature market. So we have another drought in the corn market. What happens? Well, last time, ethanol kept boosting us, but it's going to be more like an old-time drought that the livestock sectors adjust to without that added complication. Here's what we think happens on prices. Well, there we're $7 a bushel, and we're down now to 3 and change, right? You just do the arithmetic, 10 cents on corn, $1 a hundredweight. Most of that benefit we already got in the 2014 market, right? 2014 calf and yearling market got a huge benefit from falling corn prices. And we're going to stay down in this range. And here's our forecast. We haven't got this year's corn crop harvested. Apparently Nebraska is really slow this year. That wasn't as funny as I thought. That was funnier than you did. But and here's the corn crop we haven't even planted yet. Right? And there's a lot of drivers in here on the corn crop, right? Two drivers. Number one, the relative price of corn in the Midwest to soybeans. And if it's over about 2.5 to 1, you switch to soybeans over corn. And second of all, rotations. right? We have to rely on rotations because returns are down. And so you can't just do corn on corn or beans on beans. Getting back to fundamental agronomy of rotations also pushes us. And this year, it's going to push us towards corn, but the price ratio is going to push us away from corn, so we don't really know. But if we stay anywhere to what we think, you know, corn may go. Now, what happens? What if? What if? Well, what if is really driven by yield. And that's if that's what we expect in 18. Again, we haven't harvested that one, but we know it's over 170 bushels per acre. It just has to be, right? So what if it's there? Okay, Dr. Paisley, there you go. The key is about 155 bushels per acre. If we take 2018 below or about to 155 bushels per acre, we're going to take corn back to 470 a bushel, plus or minus, received by farmers, where today we're 320. That's $1.50 a bushel. Do the arithmetic on cap prices. So if I'm watching the market from afar and I start hearing that we're going to, you know, market analysts next summer talk about 155, I want to gear up my calf marketing program. I want to really pay attention. They start talking about 160, 165. People are in the markets going, oh, it's not 170. It's terrible. But it's really not going to get you to a dramatic negative in the cattle market. But 155 plus or minus gets you there. And anything below that, like that corn yield, gets you in a heap of trouble. So it only takes 1 year. People are talking in the marketplace, it'll take two short corn crops to bring this back to $4, $4.50, $5 corn. No. Just takes one short corn crop. Just one. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, I'd like to talk about cattle. Am I out of time yet, Dr. Paisley? 5 minutes. Jeez. Okay. Cattle cycles are still with us. Calf crop is getting bigger. This is the ramp up in a calf crop, according to USDA, that's bigger. Look at the rate of that ramp up. That's unprecedented. This year, according to USDA, the calf crop's the biggest since 2008. What's going on differently? Well, the blue line is cows being killed this year. We've already started to market more cows, right, than we did when we were growing the herd very aggressively. And heifer slaughter is much, much different. We drove a stake in the sand. Look at the heifer slaughter in late 16. Look where we are today. We're slowing down the rate of this herd expansion compared to last year. It's still growing. It's going to be up this year, 0.5% to 1.5%. I'm using 1% year over year. But that's slower than the 3% growth in the cow herd we've had lately. So we're slowing down the rate of growth. Even our biggest estimate probably doesn't get back up to here. So we're in the middle of the range. That's a manageable number. It's a manageable number, except for all the pork and chicken that's out there. That's pretty doable. Beef production's going up. Part of that is heifers in the slaughter mix. Oh, okay, Dr. Paisley, bring that back. Oh, there we go. People are talking in the media, 30 billion pounds of beef being produced. No, we might get to 28 billion pounds in 19. That's a lot. It's a lot. But the people that want to tell you that the market is broken are saying 30. I don't know where they get to 30. What are we going to do on the beef side per capita, which is the important stuff? We're going to ask people to eat about 58 pounds, the most since 2010. Most of you can remember 2010, right? Okay. But that's the key. There's more out there, and are we going to be able to swim our way through it? Cow-calf returns were really good. In fact, this year we're what? Pleasantly surprised. Don't waste the opportunity. 6 months ago, I told you that would be negative. 3 months ago, I told you that would be negative. 2 months ago, I told you that would be negative. Now, this doesn't fit any of you. I wouldn't believe these numbers. But the relative thing is, you know, there's a swing in 1 year of $100 a cow. We didn't expect that. Let's not waste it. The bad news is that all the profit potential in calves and yearlings has already been bid back into those animals by feedlots. The profit potential in feedlots was really good and was great this year, but what happened? Now they have bid up calves and yearlings. So what happened? The retailer is moving meat. They surprise the packer. The packer's making a pile of money. And so the demand for cattle, the history of the industry is what? Consumer demand filters down to retailer demand, filters down to packer demand, filters down to feedlot demand, filters down to cow-calf demand, filters down to bull producer demand. But this year we started in the middle. It's cattle demand that is kicking off the system, not beef demand so much. Cattle feeding, we had one of the best years there. Worst year ever, 14. Best year ever, 14. Worst year ever, 15. First 8 months of this year, really good. You need to pay attention to your customers because those swings come back into the calf and yearling price. Cyclically lower cattle prices through 18. What kind of market? If I'm a producer, I don't have to watch the markets every day. But I want to figure out from presentations like this is what? What kind of market am I in? Now, think about two kinds of markets. You swim upstream or downstream. Upstream is what? Like we're doing now, like we did 2011, 12, 13, 14. You float down the river even in the drought of 2012, and you come out smelling like a rose. But as soon as that market turned, we've been swimming upstream. You swim upstream, you got to plan better. You got to do everything better because the market's not going to bail you out. This year, it kind of bailed you out some, but we're still swimming upstream, but the current is slowed down, right? And that's, I want to sit in cow-calf country and say, am I in a downstream market or an upstream market for the next couple of years so I can do my business planning? In your business planning, it's sequential, right? If you have a drought, you don't do everything all at once. You make stage decisions in ranching, and you need to tie your marketing plan to your financial statements. Your financial statements, a banker wants what? A balance sheet. What are your assets versus liabilities? Your wife wants to know what? Or your husband wants to know what? Income. What's our income? But the key to making decisions is your cash flow statement month to month. And you start moving that around. That's your marketing plan. That's what I'm planning when I buy calves to add, what I'm doing. If I'm going to sell the heavy into the calves, keep the light into the calves. All that needs to flow through that document. And that's the key. That's how the marketing plan and financial and production tie together in that way. So let's think about that. Let's also go long term. Beef prices are very high, higher than pork, higher than chicken. It costs us more to produce beef, right? And I'm an economist, I dare to say, not a very good economist. Cost of production is important. Where did we get to where we are today? It's a lot about beef quality. Quality, quality, quality. So if a consumer is going to pay that premium, they better find something in that they like, something that really tastes good. And if we lose quality in this industry, forget about cost of production. If you do research that impinges quality significantly, this industry, what's the pork industry doing? They're now going to quality grades. What's the Mexican beef industry doing? Going to quality grades. What are those quality grades? Prime, just like beef. Choice, just like beef. Select, just like beef. Do not give up quality. You can cut cost of production, but and probably the animal scientists will tell you anything you do over the life of that animal and its grandparents impacted quality. This market's changing. Don't forget that. The markets are segmenting. They're changing. And that's my story. I'm sticking to it. I look forward to the bullpen. Dr. Paisley said in the bullpen he's going to ask me about bitcoins.